scripture text for our meditation is taken from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And I shall read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. The Lord bless the reading of his word.
Please keep your Bible open to Hebrews chapter 1, which is our text for this morning. Christ, our prophet, our priest, and our king. And I just want to focus and concentrate on verse 3 of chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews. Here we have a description of the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. If I were to ask you this question, who is Jesus? How would you answer? I think the best answer and the most excellent answer is given by Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, where Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Christ. And we want to ask the question, what does it mean when we say Jesus is the Christ? We often pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you know the meaning of the name Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Yeshua. Jesus means Savior. Jesus has saved us from our sins. He is our Savior. But what does Christ mean? Well, the word Christ comes from the word Christos in the Greek. And Christos is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Mashiach, where we get the word Messiah, the Anointed One. So Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. And when we think of Jesus as being the Anointed One, what does that mean? Anointed in what sense? Well, Jesus is the Anointed One in that he is our anointed prophet, our anointed priest, and our anointed king. In the Old Testament, the prophet was anointed of God. The priest was anointed of God. And the king was also anointed of God. And these were the leaders, the spiritual leaders of the nation of Israel. And they all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. The prophet of prophets. The priest of the Old Testament pointed to the priesthood of Christ. The priest of priests. And the kings of the Old Testament pointed to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king, all three in one person. And that makes him unique. He is our unique prophet, our unique priest, and our unique king. There is no one like him. all the prophets, all the priests, all the kings in the Old Testament were servants. But Jesus is our prophet, our priest, and king in that he is the Son of God, God himself, our eternal prophet, our eternal priest, our eternal king. And so he has a unique ministry of salvation to us. Jesus is our Savior by his death and by his resurrection. And as our Savior, he is our all-complete Savior. Not just our Savior. He is our all-complete Savior as prophet, priest, and king. And that's why the Westminster Confession of Faith states this. Jesus Christ is our mediator. And it says this, it pleased God in his eternal purpose to choose and ordain the Lord Jesus, his only begotten Son, to be the mediator between God and man, the prophet, priest, and king, the head and savior of his church, the heir of all things, and judge of the world. So this morning, let us study into Jesus our Lord as the messianic prophet, the messianic priest, and our messianic king. Now, looking at Jesus as our prophet, priest, and king, we need to first of all understand that Jesus is God himself. And the author of Hebrews spared no effort to make this very clear at the very outset of verse 3. Says here, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. These are words talking about the deity of Christ, that he is 100% God. The prophets, the priests, and the kings in the Old Testament were all human beings, all men, 100% human. All right? But Jesus is not only 100% man, human, he is also 100% God. And the author of Hebrews wants to make this very clear to us. And he describes Jesus as possessing the brightness of his glory, his Father's glory, God the Father. And he is the express image of his person. What do these words mean? The brightness of his glory here refers to the glory that only God has. God's divine glory. The glory of Jesus is not human glory, but divine glory. The glory that exudes from his essence, his divine essence, his brightness that no man can see. And it is that brightness, that glory that John spoke of in John chapter 1, verse 14. And John describes it as the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John, together with James and Peter, these three apostles, the inner group of Jesus' disciples, had a glimpse of that Shekinah, divine glory, on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus, for a brief moment, revealed his eternal and divine glory. And they were all very afraid. This is our God. This is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is God himself, the Son of God. And not only does he possess this divine brightness and glory that exudes from his divine essence, his deity, the author of Hebrews also tells us that he is the express image of his person. Now, what does that mean? This means that Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father. As God the Father is God, so is God the Son. Jesus is also 100% God, the same in essence, in power, with God the Father. Jesus is not similar to God. He is the same as God. And that is what the author is trying to tell us here. The express image of his person. And that's why Jesus told Philip, "You have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus is saying that I am equally powerful. As God the Father is all-powerful, omnipotent, all-knowing, omniscient, all-present, omnipresent, so am I. And this is the kind of Savior we have as our prophet, our priest, and our king. What a wonderful Savior. So what does that mean to us in practical terms? So let us study into the doctrine of Jesus' prophetic, priestly, and kingly, all right, office and ministry. And in practical terms, what does that mean to us today? All right, firstly, Christ is our prophet. Christ is our prophet. Now, the Old Testament predicted the coming of the messianic prophet like Moses. And this is foretold in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, Moses, by divine inspiration, foretold of the prophet to come, right? The true prophet, the prophet of prophets, the messianic prophet like Moses. And in Deuteronomy 18, 15, we read, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet." And the prophet there is with a capital P, no ordinary prophet, prophet that comes from heaven itself. "From the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." And Jesus is the greater Moses. And he fulfilled the prophecy given by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15. And Peter tells us that he fulfilled that prophecy in Acts chapter 3:32. And there's another verse in Acts 7, verse 37. So the prophetic word is God's word. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, we are told, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the living word." And this living word has also given to us his written word, the Holy Scriptures. Now Jesus came down to live with us on earth. He walked with us, he talked with us, he lived with us. And his disciples were eyewitnesses to all the things that he had done and to all the things that he had taught. And they even helped him and they handled him. And of course, Jesus is no longer with us on earth. He is now in heaven. He has accomplished his redemptive work on earth, and now he is ascended up to heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. But does that mean that we are in any way shortchanged in terms of Christ's presence with us? Well, the Lord Jesus has given to us the word of life, his word, the written word, the Holy Scriptures. Although we may not have the tangible and visible incarnate Christ with us today to hold him, to touch him, and to feel him, yet we are not in any way shortchanged or less privileged than the disciples of old. For today we have the Word of God in our hands, the perfect written Word of God, which is equally tangible, which is visible. And we have it in our hands today, and as good as handling the Word of God himself, isn't it? And when we have the Holy Scriptures with us right now, the Word of God, and when we read the Holy Scriptures, and when we study it, and when we learn from it, it is as good as sitting at the feet of Jesus 2,000 years ago. Jesus is our prophet, and he has not left us without his word. Yes, the personified word, the living word, is now in heaven, But right now on earth, His Word continues to exist in His written Word that He has given to us. Equally tangible, equally visible, equally powerful. God has not only inspired His words 100%, He has also preserved His words 100%. And what a wonderful privilege and what a wonderful blessing we have from the Lord today. So His prophetic word is powerful and effective. And that's why the author here in the book of Hebrews in verse 3 says that Christ our prophet upholds all things by the word of His power. This speaks of His prophetic ministry. And the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is alive. How powerful is God's word? Consider how by His word He created the world. In Genesis chapter 1, we read of this, that by divine fiat, by the word that proceeded from out of His mouth, the whole universe was created. Let there be light. And there was light. Just by the word of His mouth. For He commanded and they were created. And this same powerful word was the word of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was on earth. By this same powerful word, He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons and calmed the storm. Very powerful words. And these powerful words of the Lord Jesus Christ, we also have today, and I'm sure you have experienced the power of God's word in your life. How that word has changed you, isn't it? How that word has given to you meaning in life. And when you were suffering, or when you were going through difficulties in life, and you have gone through hardships, how the word of God has encouraged you and strengthened you. You may have thought of death, but then when you read the word of God, it gives you life. I don't want to die. I want to live for the Lord. How that word has power. And we know of many cases of how those who have been gripped by drugs, the drug addicts, and they go in and out of prison, and they go through many counseling sessions, but all the human words from human counselors cannot change them. They cannot break away from their habit. They go in and out of prison. They are chained up by this addiction. But when the gospel was preached to them, and they heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and they say, "Lord, I believe. Lord, forgive me of my sins and take control of my life." Suddenly, miraculously, the drug habit is broken. And they are freed. We have students in FEBC who are like that, who are freed from the addiction of drugs. And how they are so grateful, and how they have experienced the miraculous power of God's word in their lives. So much so, they are so grateful. "Lord, I want to be a servant of Thy powerful word, to give out this same word so that others might experience this power and be released from the bondage of sin, the bondage of Satan, and bondage that comes with this sin-cursed world." You have experienced this power in your life, haven't you? Well, Jesus is our prophet, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. As He has created this world, He is also upholding this world. As He has inspired His words, He has also preserved His words. And that's why Peter said, when Jesus asked the disciples, "Will you also go away?" You know, when the multitudes left the Lord Jesus, And Jesus asked the disciples, will you also go away? And Peter again gave an excellent answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Precisely because Jesus is our anointed prophet. And his words give us eternal life. And as the prophet, the Lord also tells us many things about the future. All of us are very curious, isn't it? We want to know what will happen in the future. And the Lord does not keep the future secret. He reveals to us what the future holds. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about the future. Many, many prophecies. One out of every four verses in the Bible is prophetic, concerns the future. We want to study prophecy. And if Jesus is our anointed prophet, then we better pay attention to his prophetic word. And in the last days that we live in, all the more we should pay attention to the words of prophecy in the scriptures. You want to know the future? Please don't go to the fortune teller. Please don't go to the medium. Please don't read the horoscopes. Please don't seek the feng shui master. They cannot tell the future. They cannot tell you the truth. They speak lies. You know, many would go to the fortune teller to get their lucky numbers, hoping to strike the lottery. Now, if a fortune teller can really give you and predict the winning numbers of the lottery, then he need not be a fortune teller anymore. He can just keep the numbers for himself, buy those numbers, and then retire, right? And live with all the wealth. Why must he continue to tell fortune? They cannot tell. Just last week, I heard a testimony of a young man who went to the fortune teller. And it was during the time when he was still an unbeliever. He went to the fortune teller to seek his fortune. What is my future like? And this fortune teller told him that his name is unlucky, no good. So he must change his name, gave him a new name. And also gave him a piece of bad news. You will fail in your university. You will fail in your university exams. So after he went to the fortune teller, well, he changed his name, but you know, he had received this news that he will fail in his university studies. So he was very worried, very fearful, very anxious, until the day he heard the gospel and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, he changed his name back to his old name. And he passed his exams. Don't go to the fortune tellers. They will speak lies. And sometimes, when we go to the fortune tellers, we give ourselves over to the work of the devil. Because behind these fortune tellers are demons. Spiritual and evil beings at work. And these fortune tellers, when they tell your fortune, the demons are there. And whatever is predicted, the demons may bring it to pass. You're under their grip. You're in their trap. And so we must never, never go to these people. It is an abomination. Don't ever go to the sorcerer, to the witch, to the fortune teller, or the feng shui master. You want to know the future? Just go to the prophet of prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in his word, and you'll know what to expect in the future, and you'll know how to live your life, right, according to what will happen in the future, as God has predicted in his word. And I would urge you to read the RPG faithfully day by day, because this current quarter of devotional readings concern prophecy, the end times, and the second coming of Christ. And Christ has given to us a more sure word of prophecy in the scriptures. And so let us pay attention to these prophetic words. So if Christ is our prophet, then we must take his words very, very seriously. Never, never despise nor doubt God's words. We must believe in God's words. 100%. And never criticize it, never doubt it, but always believe in it by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For they that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And for this very reason, we are True Life Bible Presbyterian Church, for we stand foursquare on the forever infallible and inerrant words of God. Christ our prophet. Now Christ our priest. Christ our priest. Christ is not only our prophet, speaking to us from the scriptures through his forever perfect and powerful words, he is also our great high priest. When he by himself had purged our sins, right? In verse 3 we read, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. And this speaks of his priestly ministry. Jesus is our great high priest. He had purged us from our sins. And Jesus is no ordinary high priest. He is not of Aaron. The order of his priesthood is not the Aaronic one. Aaron's priesthood was only temporary. It will last for a while and it will be replaced. Jesus' priesthood is an eternal priesthood. His priestly ministry is after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek. And we have read about Melchizedek in Psalm 110 verse 4 in our responsive reading. And in that messianic psalm, it is predicted Jesus will come and will be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever. Right, forever. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Jesus is a priest forever, unlike Aaron, who was replaced when Jesus came. Now, what is significant and what is unique about the priestly ministry of Jesus is this. Now, in the Old Testament, the priests were all sinful human beings, though appointed, all right, and anointed of God. They had to cleanse themselves of sin. They had to offer an animal sacrifice, a lamb sacrifice, in order to cleanse themselves of sins before they could represent the people and offer sacrifices for them. Right? Jesus Christ is different. Jesus Christ is not only our great high priest, he is the sacrifice himself, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He is not only high priest, our great high priest, he is also our perfect sacrifice. Sinless and blameless. And that's what's so special about his prophetic ministry. No high priest in the Old Testament could be sacrificed himself, but Jesus is the sacrifice himself and the perfect sacrifice that truly takes away our sin. The spotless and the blameless Lamb of God. So what did Jesus use to purge us of our sins? It says here that he has purged us of our sins. Well, he purged us of our sins through his precious and powerful blood. The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And it is the blood of the God-man. Not just the blood of man. Jesus is not only man, he's also God. It is the blood of the God-man that has saved us and has cleansed us from all our sins. And we must never belittle and demean the blood of Jesus Christ. There are some who say, oh, Jesus saved us by his death, not by his blood. No, we cannot separate the death of Christ from the blood that was shed on the cross. They must always be seen together. And it is the literal blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross that cleanses us from all sin. And if you were to ask the question, how could the blood that was shed 2,000 years ago, the literal blood of Christ shed 2,000 years ago, cleanse us of our sins right now and today? I don't know. It is a mystery. But God miraculously applies the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the God-man, shed 2,000 years ago, to cleanse us of our sins right here and now when we confess our sins to Him. Jesus is our perfect and great high priest. And that's why He's so unique and so special. And that's why the Apostle Paul in Acts 20 verse 28 charged the Ephesian elders to take care and good care of the flock of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He, that is God, hath purchased with His, with God's own blood, the blood of the God-man, our Messiah, the Christ, our great high priest. And as the hymn writer says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So Christ is our perfect sacrifice and our perfect high priest. And our only mediator, only one way to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. So only Christ can forgive us of our sins and give us eternal life. Because He is the only one who was our sacrifice. He shed His precious blood, and only by His blood we can be forgiven of our sins. So please don't go confess your sins to any man, to any angel, right, to any person for the forgiveness of your sins. In the Roman Catholic Church, the Catholics are encouraged to confess their sins to the priest. So they go to the confessional box and confess their sins, thinking that the priest can forgive sins. My grandfather, there was one time he went to see the Roman Catholic priest and confessed his sins to the priest. I do not know what sins he had committed or he confessed, but the Roman Catholic priest told him, you want your sins to be forgiven, you must chant the rosary. You must say Hail Mary 500 times. Then your sins will be forgiven. Pray to Mary and your sins will be forgiven. No, your sins will not be forgiven if you pray to Mary or any angel or to any man. They cannot forgive sins. They will not sacrifice for your sins. They are not our priests. We have a great high priest, only Jesus, the only mediator, and He Himself was our perfect sacrifice. Only He can forgive sins. So please, don't go to anyone. Only go to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say the rosary or Hail Mary 500 times, even 5,000 times, and we'll still be in our sins. But you just cry out once to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, please save me from my sins. And you'll be saved. When you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So have your sins be forgiven. If you are still outside the kingdom of God and your heart still condemns you because you're still in your sins and you're judged by the Ten Commandments, you're guilty before God, and you cry out to Him, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins. I confess I'm a sinner. Please be my Savior. All your sins will be forgiven. A simple, childlike, faithful prayer like this, when you pray to Him by faith, believing on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as preached to you from the Holy Scriptures, you will be saved. No need to say Hail Mary 500 times. Mary cannot forgive you of your sins. No one can. Only Jesus can. And for us who are believers, and please don't think that Jesus doesn't care for us or He doesn't understand what we go through in our lives. He is so far away in heaven. How does He know what I'm going through? No, Jesus knows what we are going through in life. And He wants us to be totally and utterly dependent on Him, to go to Him every time in prayer. Pray to Him in time of our need. in whatever circumstances we are in. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, please turn to Hebrews. It's in the same book, Hebrews, just the next page, probably in your Bible, chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Shall we read this together, these three verses, which really is a very comforting passage for us. Many a time, you know, when we seek counselors to counsel us, we find very little help. Human words are so weak, but God's words are so powerful. And we direct the person to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our great high priest, and we come boldly before him. Let's read together. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to the our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus not only sympathizes with us, he not only shows compassion to us, he feels for us and he feels with us. He empathizes. He empathizes because he was also man. He is right now also man. And he has experienced the things that we have experienced. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. The sinless Son of God and Son of Man. So don't ever say, Jesus, you can't understand. He understands. You just cry out to him. And many a time when we cry out to him, you know, our feelings, our struggles are so intense, no words can express. And please don't think that you need to memorize your dictionary and know all the vocabulary so that you can express yourself so fully and God will hear and God will answer. No. God is in heaven, we are on earth, let our words be few. And in moments of great struggle and intensity, when we groan within ourselves and no words can express what we feel, and then we just cry out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, oh Lord," the Lord understands. He knows our hearts, right? When we cry out to him. And then he can meet our needs every time when we cry out to him. So men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why? Because we are such a great high priest. Go to him. Christ is our king. Christ is not only our prophet, our priest, he is also our king. And as our king, he is the most righteous king. In the Old Testament, we have kings, and many of them may be spiritual kings, godly ones. But no one is most righteous and most holy. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is our most righteous and holy king. And as the name Melchizedek, right, tells us, Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was not only a priest, but he was also a king. And Melchizedek means the king of righteousness. My king is righteous. Jesus Christ is our most righteous and holy king. And as our king, our most righteous king, he has kept the Ten Commandments for us perfectly and has paid the penalty of our sins on the cross, shedding his precious blood. And therefore being justified, being declared innocent, declared righteous, not guilty before God. By faith, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now our suffering Savior became our glorious King, and his cross led to his crown. And he is now seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high, as we read in verse 3. He is now set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. What does the right hand mean? Well, the right hand is the hand or the seat of honor, of power, and authority. And Jesus Christ is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Revelation 19:16. And one day he will come back. He will come back to judge this world. And as king, he demands our absolute allegiance and unquestioning obedience to all his commands. And in practical terms, what does that mean? Now, today there are people who say, well, we only need to believe on Jesus as our Savior. We don't need to crown him as our Lord. Nothing can be further from the truth. And so they say, I believe in Jesus because I want the forgiveness of sins. I want to go to heaven. But I don't want Jesus to be in control of my life. Right? I want to be in control of my own life. I want to do the things that I want to do. So they want to have the best of both worlds. They want to go to heaven, but they also want to enjoy the carnal pleasures of this life. So they think Jesus is their free ticket, you see. Their blank check to sin on this earth. And then later on, go to heaven. Riding on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we cannot just believe on Jesus as Savior and not believe on Him as Lord. Because He is both Savior and Lord. And when we accept Him as our Savior, we must also accept Him as our Lord. Right? They cannot be separated. The saviorhood and the kingship and the lordship of Christ cannot be separated. Those who say, I believe on Jesus as Savior, but I don't accept Him as my Lord because I still want to be in control and to be the captain of my own life. I want to do things my own way. Certain parts of my life I cannot give over and give up to the Lord. Then these people probably are not possessing Christ. They only profess Christ, but they do not possess Christ. They are not born again. Because if you are truly born again, you will say, Jesus, you are my Savior, and as my Savior, you are also my Lord. Okay? And I want you to take control. I surrender my life totally to you. I deny self. I become zero. I take up my cross, and I follow you, my King and my Lord. And so, Gnosticism, as promoted by the Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown, and by the Judas Gospel, teach that a Christian needs only Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. You can sin all you want, because when you sin, only your flesh sins. It does not touch the Spirit. Spirit remains pure. Believe in Jesus, and you can sin all you want, because the flesh is evil, and the flesh does not contaminate the Spirit. Well, those who believe in such a gospel, believe in another gospel that destroys. You must believe on Jesus both as Savior and Lord. And then in the days of Calvin, there were these libertines. They say, Jesus is my Savior. I believe on Jesus, but Jesus is my license to sin. And so they lead immoral lives, wine, woman, and song. And Calvin was so angry with these libertines who came to church, and he rebuked them and forbade them to partake of the Lord's Supper. They're not believers. Still not born again. And then you have the charismatic antinomians against the law. Say that, today we live by the Spirit and not by the law. We don't need the Ten Commandments today. We can live according to what we like and according to the way we please. Because it's only the Spirit, not the law today. And they are, in effect, telling Jesus, in the prosperity gospel that they have believed in, they are really telling Jesus, you can keep your commandments. Just give me your wealth and your health. Right? There are those who believe in Jesus with that kind of a thinking. And it will be like children telling their parents, I love your money, but I do not love you. And if your child were to tell you such words, are they true children? They're not. They're not. Jesus says, if you love me, you must what? Keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. You will naturally love my commandments, my words, my statutes, my judgments. You will delight in my law. So do we or not delight in the law of God? Do we desire not only Christ, but His words? And do we obey the words? That is a test. I pray we may not believe in another Jesus. We must believe in the biblical Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, who is both Lord and Savior. And that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 10 verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, not just Jesus, not simply Jesus, he's just my Savior, but I don't have to believe on him as Lord. Paul says, when you believe and confess Jesus, you must confess him as Lord. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, he's Lord and Savior, and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay. So, may you pray this prayer. Jesus, my Savior, please save me from my sins. And as my Lord, I surrender my life totally to you. Take control of my life and be my King and my Lord. We cannot separate the Savior from his Lordship or his kingship. Take note. As born again and true believers of Jesus Christ, let us worship our Lord Jesus Christ as our prophet, the anointed prophet, our priest, our anointed priest, and our king, the messianic king, King of kings and Lord of lords. As our prophet, we must believe in all the words he has fully inspired and fully preserved for us in the Holy Scriptures. As our priest, we must depend on him for all our spiritual needs to overcome the trials and temptations of this life. As our king, we must surrender every part of our life to him to rule, to control, and to change so that we might become more and more like him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank thee for Jesus Christ, thy only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, who is our prophet, our priest, and our King, our perfect, powerful, and all complete Savior. We need no other, we need only Jesus Christ, and we crown him Lord of our lives. In his name we pray. Amen.